title of my message this morning is A Settled Mind in an Unsettling Environment. A Settled Mind in an Unsettling Environment. We've read together the words of the Psalm 56. And the words that I drew your attention to indicate to us that David was very afraid. And he was not only very afraid today, but he was very afraid yesterday. And he thinks he will be tomorrow as well. He makes reference there to those who would daily swallow him up. The word meaning to trample upon. It actually carries the meaning as well of to grind as powder, to make nothing of. Another meaning of the word here, to swallow up, is to suck up as in a whirlpool. Such is the distress in his mind and the despondency that he feels. And it's all because he's afraid. Now this Psalm 56, it is known as one of the golden psalms. If you look at the title there, it's quite long. It says, Jonath Elam Re Kukim. I think that's how it's pronounced there, but simply means a golden psalm, or some translated a precious psalm. Some call this Psalm 56 David's jewel. And whatever the case may be, many commentators have referred to it as the psalm of a silent dove in distant places. Everything, when we read this psalm, everything was not as David would have it to be. And it, of course, it begins by implying here that there's trouble about, and he's asking the Lord to have mercy upon him, be merciful unto me. You know as well as I do, trouble's never far away of some kind. It may be to do with everyday life and dealing with people and mixing with them or families. It may be in our own makeup as far as emotionally is concerned or mentally is concerned. There may be that trouble, and it never seems to be too far away in some degree. But the title here, some believe it to be the title merely of the tune. Whatever the case may be, it is called the Golden Psalm. The Golden Psalm. It's one of the Golden Psalms. And you see also there, it says Michtam. The word Michtam there simply meaning to hide, or to hide in secret. And when you put them both together, the Michtam here of David, referring to the psalm as one of David's, and the title then of the tune, you have the two together. You have that which is precious, and the secret, you have the precious secret. And therefore, this is a psalm of the precious secret. It was not only the precious secret for David and those in his day, but there's a precious secret here for us today. Because the psalm does not deny to us, and you do not deny, the reality of fear and being afraid. And yet David here, in what he says, shows us the secret of dealing with the situation as well. You bring them both together, you have the psalm of the precious secret, or of inner tranquility. Sometimes you would have given a lot for that. Maybe even during this past week, unknown to your friends, there have been those hours, private hours, when you would have given a lot for inner tranquility, because you've been afraid. You've been afraid. It's funny how God's providence works out, and sometimes we don't understand what is going on, and yet other times we can see his hand clearly. Called to see someone this week that I hadn't seen for a while. They're not Free Presbyterians, and they weren't there. And another person related to them was there that I do know, and got in a conversation with them, and they got a new car, and of course I was interested in that, a very nice one, and said, come on, I'm going to a certain place, come on with me, and I'll only be half an hour or less. So I jumped in, and away we went. We decided to go with them, and we had the discussion along the way. And the person proceeded to tell me I was actually surprised, to be honest with you, because the CD that they put in was gospel music, which I didn't expect it to be. And then they proceeded to tell me how they'd go back into a right relationship with the Lord. And I was glad to hear that. But they also told me, and I'm not going to go into any of the details at all, various things that had happened over this past while and how there were those periods when that individual just sat and cried. Just didn't want to do anything. Didn't want to go anywhere. Just really wanted to run away. They're extremely honest with me in what they said. And I said, well, you know, why? What was, you know, behind all of this? I was afraid. I was afraid. And folks, we don't in any way look down at that kind of situation because we know exactly what they're talking about. Psalmist says here, what time I was afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, I want to draw your attention today to having a settled mind in an unsettling environment. David here was in an unsettling environment. He was very often in his life extremely steadfast, one who other people could go to in order to find encouragement and how they might be steadfast. And yet we find him here, he's very fearful and he's very unsettled. And again, maybe during these past days, you've got up and your day has begun like any other day and you thought it was going to finish that way too. And yet before the day was out, your mind was unsettled, folks. Maybe even in a way that surprised you, your mind was unsettled. Maybe it was thinking of something that may or may not happen somewhere down the line. Maybe it was reflecting upon something that has already come your way. Maybe somebody said something and that changed everything. Just on the school run or something there, you met someone that said something and it disturbed you. Maybe you turned on the radio and that got disturbed further. And before you know, you had an unsettled mind. Didn't like it. I want to look at this with you this morning. I think it's very important as we look at it. I want to say first of all, and the thoughts are quite simple and very quite brief as well. I want to say this, that even the most zealous Christian cannot ignore fear. Cannot ignore fear. It's very interesting that when the Lord refers to us, he sometimes refers to us as the sheep of his pasture. He doesn't refer to us as his wolves, but rather as his sheep. He could have said his cattle, but he said his sheep for a reason. Sheep are extremely vulnerable. They're very timid. And out in Judea there, when they were led to new pastures, during even that leading to better pastures, there would have been that enemies along the way which would have sought to prevent them in getting to that which was good. Do you remember even in the history of David, we read of his own experience there with the lion and with the bear and how he had to deal with them. Very often sheep would not be able to look after themselves in a way that other animals would seem instinctively to do. So really, wherever they went, whether it was their own foolishness that brought them off track and into dangerous situations, or whether it was that which was stalking along the highway, which sought to prevent them from getting to new pastures, whatever the case may be, sheep were often fearful. Maybe you have seen them yourself running up and down the field like mad things. Maybe they've spotted a fox and there's little lambs and they're afraid. Or the local, somebody's dog has been out. I well remember people coming to our house when I was still at home and wanting to see the teeth of our golden Labrador. That wasn't without reason. It's not that they cared about his dental health. They wanted to see if there's any wool in them. Because 8 or 10 sheep in the wood across the way that had been in the meadow, they've been chased into the wood and all been killed by dogs. Sheep are animals that are constantly in situations where they are facing fear. They're also very weak. So again, we can see why the Lord refers to us as his flock. Now, that flock that he has saved are a very cherished flock. I want to remind you of that. And cared for flock. Because we are a cleansed flock. We are his sheep. But humanly speaking, if you know anything about animals, you would think, well, everything to do with the sheep is to do with that which is vulnerable and fearful, and to be quite frank, a bit silly at times. And men and women, whenever the Lord wants to lead you on, sometimes he will take you to his word and he will show you something and he will say to you, you know, this seems challenging for you, but I'm going to help you to do it. Whatever it is in God's work, whereas here in the church or maybe away out in the big wild world somewhere, maybe you've looked at the need. You've heard it often here in deputation meetings and mentioned from the pulpit as well, the great need that there is in the harvest field. And you think, well, can't do it, full stop, I'm away here. But constantly as that feeling comes up in your heart, well, I can't do it, but I know it would need done. And sometimes God speaks to us through his word and impresses his word upon our heart to such an extent that eventually we think, you know, well, Lord, I'm going to do it if you will help me. We've been there ourselves so many times. But on other occasions, when the Lord is leading you on to do something for himself, it's not without considerable opposition. And in this country of ours where we enjoy so much freedom, we have to be honest and say that most of that opposition, just as the sheep there would have met with the wolves and the bears and the lions along the way as they sought to make their way to a new pasture land, as the Lord would seek to lead his people on, the biggest enemy and the worst enemy of all is me. Whether it is selfish motives or self-centeredness or whatever the case may be, or simply, as the case is with so many people, simply fear. Fear that we cannot do it. You cannot ignore fear. And I cannot ignore fear. It is something that comes along even whenever we consider our fellow man. Funny when you're out in public. Supposing you're in some kind of an organization, a sports organization or whatever the case may be. I just used that as an example, but a business consortium, whatever the case might be. It's funny when you're out there, even though you don't intend this to happen, you find yourself fearing man. And what is reactions going to be to what you say or do? And the Lord knows all about it. And there in Matthew 10, in the space of 6 verses, the Lord says 3 times concerning men, fear them not. It's there in Matthew 10 and 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. You can read the context all yourself, verse 28 again. And fear not them which kill the body. Sometimes we think of Mary Slessor and many other missionaries who went out and served the Lord. And some of them lived to be old people. And then they came home, or maybe they passed away out on the field, whatever the case may be. But other times, you think of Jim Elliot. He was just a young fellow, and he and his mates were killed by those who were trying to reach. And we fear what man can do unto us. It says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. And then down in verse 31, fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Believe it or not, I was thinking of that verse the other day when I went up to Donaghadee to take a meeting. And I went a little bit early because it's something else to do. And I parked the car and there was a wall, stone wall. And there were a lot of, because there was sunshine, I think the insects, some sort of insect was hatching. And there were a few starlings come down and they were packing all these little insects all up. But there was 2 sparrows came along. And even after the starlings had gone away, the 2 sparrows were still there, were packing away and eating up all of these insects. And I thought as I looked at them, you know, even those sparrows which are numbered by the Lord. It says in the word of God that we're not to fear because we are of more value than they are. We're of more value than they are. And so often when we fear, we lose sight of the fact of our value to the Lord. You see, fear, when it comes, we cannot ignore it. And sometimes it is almost all consuming. And we get into a situation almost of chaos. Maybe if you're from the countryside like me, you have seen sheep just going mad and jumping into the hedge and up on the barbed wire fence and all over the place because they're in a panic. How often we get like that when we fear. As we said, it was an ordinary day, and you thought it was going to end an ordinary day, but then the fear came along. You weren't expecting it. Remember Elijah? He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's a great character, and his defiance of the prophets of Baal, well, would encourage any Christian. And what do we have to face compared to what he had to face? But in 1 Kings 19, as you read on through the verses there, you find that Elijah, great Elijah, is a broken man. All he has now is memories of what happened the other day. And he's a broken man. And he's now running for his life in so much, his fear is such, and it's almost a contradiction in terms. His fear is of Jezebel, but his fear is such that he wants his own life to end. It's hard for you and I to comprehend him, or is it really? Things have been going so well for him, as far as he was concerned. And then that day that perhaps he thought would have ended like the day before, it didn't. And you and I cannot, and do not, of course, ignore fear. So fear is real. It comes along and it unsettles our mind because we're living in an unsettling environment. Again, I want to qualify what I've said by saying that not everything is bad. I'm not that sort of person to think that it is. But we're not stupid. And we hear and see enough that can unsettle us and sometimes unsettle us very much. But not only is there here the fact that we cannot ignore fear, the psalmist here, he spoke about it daily. He says there in verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. It seems that every man's hand is against him. Do you ever feel like that, that everything was against you? It caused you to fear. You couldn't really see anything positive. But more than that, we want to go on here and say that fear can kill off zeal, even with the brightest Christian. Fear can kill off zeal even with the brightest Christian. David was a man after God's own heart. It's very, very clear as you look at him now that he's just like that sheep that is pacing up and down the field that has lost any settledness it had. And you see him here, and he's a man that is filled with discontentment. Filled with discontentment. In those early verses, he says, he seems to me to refer to the devil because then he mentions mine enemies, the plural there. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. It says there in verse 6, they gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. The word mark there is a word that is used to describe a hunter that is trailing his prey. And he's catching up on it. And the exhausted animal, sooner or later, he's going to get it. Well, that's the way David is feeling. He's feeling that just like an animal that has been trailed by a hunter, he is being hunted by these people. He's constantly, brethren and sisters, under a cloud. Constantly under a cloud. And because of that, he becomes very, very discontent. It's because Because he's afraid. Because he's afraid. And when you and I fear in that way, that is, fear excessively, it is inevitable that contentment will not be found with us. Over in the book of Job in chapter 21, the question is asked, in verse 7, wherefore do the wicked live? Become old. Yea, they are mighty in power. There's their comfort. Verse 8 is they're doing so well. Their seed is established in their sight with them and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. There's no fear with them. Why is it, Christian? You seem to fear, and out there, the environment around you doesn't seem to fear the way you do. It says there that they take trembling harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth. But then here's the end game. And in a moment, go down to the grave. But still, whenever you think of it, you think of looking around you and you see that which seems to be wicked, and it's not suffering the fear that you're suffering. Doesn't have that discontentment that you have. And then when discontentment comes along and contentment has vanished from us, it's only a matter of time before our confidence in the Lord goes. Because if you're not content, your confidence in what he says is going to go. And when you lost confidence in the word, then it's all downhill from there. And your zeal may be great today, but when this fear gets a hold of you, it can really take away your zeal. Over there in Jeremiah, we've read it together before, we'll read it again. Jeremiah here has been preaching his heart out for years on end, and nobody listens. He says here in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20, then I said, I will not make mention of him, that is the Lord. Do you ever feel like that? You're afraid, your mind's unsettled, and the last thing that's on your mind is speaking for the Lord. Well, you can look back to 5-10 years ago, or maybe even a month ago, and you would have loved the opportunity to witness for the Lord, but now you want to be quiet. You want to be quiet. He says here, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. There's the confidence gone. You're speaking in his name right now as you help here in this work, wherever area you're involved in. Sabbath school, children's work, two of the most important works. You're speaking in his name. You have confidence in the word. If you didn't believe the word yourself and had no confidence in it, then you wouldn't be speaking in his name. But let's even say the well-meaning children's worker or Sunday school teacher, this fear gets a hold of you. It's possible even to speak in his name. You have no real confidence in it. No real confidence that it's going to change the lives of those that you're speaking to, and it's even going to change your own life and help you to go on with the Lord. Now, we know that Jeremiah got past this stage and he couldn't but speak for the Lord, but nonetheless, he was a mighty man, and for him the situation was there. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing here regarding zeal. This fear can take zeal away from even the brightest Christian. Think of David here, who we're looking at this morning. Loss of contentment. Then your zeal is gone and you have no confidence in the word. When that happens, your concern for souls is not what it ought to be either. Your concern for souls is not what it ought to be. You see David here, and we're not criticizing, we're just telling it as it is. In the early verses of this psalm, it's all about him. He's got the focus so much on, we're not saying that he wasn't in a difficult circumstance, but he's got the focus so much on him. It's all about what they're doing on me, and they're fighting against me, and when I'm afraid, and all of these things. It's all to do with him. And him being, as it were, in a situation where he's ready now to cry out for mercy. In fact, that's what he has done. And he says to the Lord here, "Be merciful unto me." You see, David, just like you and I, was liable to overthrow. Liable to overthrow because of his feebleness. Remember those that it speaks of in Corinthians there when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, that with some of them the Lord was displeased. He overthrew some of them in the wilderness. The word means catastrophe. Catastrophe come along. And when you and I are gripped by fear, again, we can't get away from fear. It's part and parcel of all around us and in us. We can't get away from fear. Fear will take away the feeling of contentment. And that being the case, then it will destroy your reliance upon the word and the zeal that you had. And that time you went out with the word and you really expected the Lord to use it. And then, before you know, the love that you had for unsaved people and the willingness to put yourself out for them, whether they love you or not, or even thank you, that will be diminishing as well. This fear that David had, brethren and sisters, it's paralyzing fear. And you find yourself drifting along for days, for weeks, or perhaps even a lot longer than that. And you recognize that it's kept you back from praying. It's prevented you from witnessing. It has stopped you worshiping the way that you used to. And it's completely stopped you witnessing for the Lord. Because you're unsettled. The unsettling environment around you has affected you to such an extent. Fear's got hold of you. And sometimes we're speaking to people and they fear and they don't even know. Couldn't really tell you why the fear. Just a feeling of fear, which is a very detrimental effect upon them in their everyday life. It says there, what time I am afraid. When you tie that in with his talking here about daily, it has to be every day. This is something that he got up in the morning with. And he went to bed with it at night as well. Fear can take away zeal from the most earnest Christian. Let's ask ourselves a question today, and I have to ask myself too. Am I where I used to be? As far as contentment is concerned, as far as relying on the word and believing its message, having confidence in it, and as far as passion for souls is concerned. I have to ask myself that. Am I where I used to be, and if I'm not, is it an unsettled mind that has taken it all away from me? Fear. Fearing about the future, something that may never happen. Fear about our own weakness and looking too much at ourselves. David here is likening himself to an animal that's just been tracked down. He doesn't seem to have anything good to say regarding his situation. Remember the title of the song, the title of the tune, the Golden Psalm, or the Precious Psalm. And this is the Psalm of the Precious Secret. And the Precious Secret is there in verse 3 as well. It says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And he goes on to say, "In God I will praise his word," or as it is in the original, "I will praise him for his word." That brings me to my final point this morning, and that is this, that faith can push back fear. I'm not stupid enough to say to you that you get up as a point where you never fear anything. But faith can push back fear. Important here for the psalmist that he would look to the word again. I think I mentioned to you the other day, if it wasn't to you, it was to somebody else. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 16, where it says, concerning the Lord, they that thought upon his name, literally is a word that's associated with the working of accountant, of counting in. And it's saying, they that counted the Lord in. They were his jewels, they were the ones that knew the blessing. And you and I must continually count them in. David here acknowledges this. He says, what time I'm afraid, or every day when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise him for his word. And more with life in 2018, you and I are being faced with that which would be a great pressure to us. And that which could be a hindrance to us because it can make us fear. You'd be surprised the things that some people get into their minds. I think I mentioned at the prayer meeting one time that some people actually believe that there may be a zombie apocalypse. Some very well-meaning people actually were fearing and really thought it was very, very possible that ISIS were going to take over the whole world. And people fear other things. Fear, you see, it can become so irrational. One of the worst, perhaps, is feeling, well, nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. And you're tripping over yourself to try to behave in a way or to talk in a way that will make someone like you. Because fear has taken hold of you that if nobody likes you and you can't do anything right, well, then that's maybe why you don't feel that you want to get up in the morning. It shouldn't be like that. You see, faith, as someone said, faith dissolves doubt. Faith banishes fear. If you go along and sometime when you're down in England and you walk through Westminster Abbey, you will see there at the tombstones, you will see the names of many people who were very gifted. Some of them were geniuses in the field that they were involved in. And we cannot deny, and we wouldn't want to anyway, regarding a lot of them, that they did very great things, some great things that helped their country, helped other people. Some of them did it at great cost to themselves. They did great things, and that is why they are there. Their grave is there. But if you take the Bible and go to Hebrews 11, then you have Moses and Abraham and Joseph and all of these other ones. The people there are ordinary, and they are there not because they did great things, but because they could not do great things. They feared. Just like you and just like me. They feared, but they trusted in God to do great things through them and for them. That was it, you see. They discovered the secret of staying on top, as it were. It was not status or status. It was not talent. But it was faith in what God can do that made the difference. David discovered that. He says here, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, or praise him for his word. And this faith is obeying God in spite of circumstances. That's what David had to do here. And obeying God in spite of feelings. I'm sure he wanted to run or get away. He had been brought to Gath. That's the context of the psalm. He'd been brought to Gath. He just wanted to get out of it all. One of the ministers in North America one time was phoned up one of the congregation for some reason and said, how are you today? And he says, I'll be honest with you how I am today. I just want to get away from this world. Now, folks, I hope you don't feel like that today. Fear is real. Has a very real effect upon us. Faith is obeying God in spite of circumstances, in spite of feelings. I just want to get away from this world. But even in spite of consequences. That's what faith is. You see, faith that those in Hebrews 11 had, while they recognized they couldn't do anything great, but all rested on God to do something great for them and through them, they did act. You see, Moses, he got up and left Egypt. Didn't know exactly what lay ahead, but he got up and left anyway. Noah, he prepared the ark when everybody laughed. Abel, he offered the sacrifice. And so on and so forth. They all did something. They all put their faith into action. And David here, he recognized, if I can rest upon God's word, Even though I'm very afraid every day now, he will see me through this situation. Again, we have to ask ourselves the question. We know about the fear very well. But we have to ask ourselves the question, are we looking into his word for the answer there? Maybe you feared last week something, the week before that. And got a hold of you, and whatever you were doing in the kitchen, you couldn't stop fearing. You're out in the shop, you were afraid. Come to going to bed at night, fear was filling your heart. You get up in the morning, that fear was still there. And maybe God, in his directing in your life, had something that he wanted to say to you right in that situation. Even to help you in a way that would enable you to help other people in days that lay ahead. And he wanted to speak to you through his word here. David says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee, or in thy word. That's what it is. And God wanted to speak to you through that. That word would not only have assured you and comforted you, it wouldn't have done away with the situation, but it would have comforted you and give you assurance and strengthened your faith and helped you, and you didn't read it. You didn't read it. And I'm saying I didn't read it. Could that be said of us that, you know, there was that time we were so afraid that we weren't informed, if you can use that word, for taking the Bible and reading it, and that was the very thing we needed to do. And God had a word that it could have helped us and really strengthened us and given us a broader ministry to someone around us, someone we work with, someone in our family circle, and we missed it. And I hope you didn't. And David here, he recognized the importance of the word. That is where he found the victory. That is where he recognized that he could stay on top here. In God, I will praise his word. See, the time come after this that he wasn't under a cloud. He says here in verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. You could say, Christian, this I know. Why? Because faith is on solid ground. You're trusting in what the Lord has done for you, and what the Lord is able to do for you yet. If you want to divide the psalm up, verses 1 and 2 is his complaint. Verses 3 and 4 are his confidence. And verses 7 through 9 are his consolation. It's a good psalm to read when you're afraid. And we've all been afraid and will be again. But let's remember this, folks, that when we fear, that's not the end. I wonder, is your mind unsettled today? Because you live in an unsettling environment. And we know that everybody's experience every day is different. Maybe yours is very unsettling at the moment. I trust that the Lord will enable you to rest on the word. But remember this, don't miss it. Don't miss it. The Lord has that word. So often we go to the Bible and the Lord has a word just what we needed to hear for that day. But if we leave it off and don't read it, it's important to come to meetings too. Preacher doesn't know all about your life, but as we seek to preach the word, so often the Lord is in the word and heart for our hearts. May the Lord help us all to have a settled mind and to know contentment even in an unsettling environment.